please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
With that never better get checked. There ain't no difference when the king goes.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm happy to be here, just waiting for the opportunity to talk to my Fantastic Four and others who want to call in and have a discussion about what's going on in our world today. And we have a lot going on. I mean, there's so much to talk about, and there's always something to talk about, and we need to be prepared and ready to discuss things to the fullest and get our thoughts out there so the people won't have any doubt in what we're thinking and what direction we're going in. And we always have different opinions sometimes, and sometimes we have the same opinion. But what is important is that we are a part of our communities, we're a part of our cities, we're a part of our state, and we're a part of our country. We need to make sure that we are a part of the system that make things work and let people know that we're not going to be sitting on the sidelines fat-catting it. We're going to be a part of what makes our America great. And I'm a believer that America is great now and always has been, and there's no need to return back to any other time. We just need to make America better and better and better, and that's what our goal should be, is to seek to make America better. I want to just let you all know that Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is on 7 times a week, Sunday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 p.m. To 4 p.m. West Coast Time. And I also want you to know we're on Saturdays at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 Eastern Time, and that is 5 to 6 West Coast Time. I hope I got that right. And we're here because we want a platform to allow you the opportunity to talk about things that are going on in your world every day that impact our lives today and in the future. We want you to know you have a platform that you can call every day and update us to what's going on and what we need to be raising Cain about and making sure that everybody across the country knows about. We want to be able to provide you with the people you need to email, the people you need to call, the shirts that you need to order. We want to make sure that we're actively involved in what's going on in our society to the point that people know that if you want to know something or you want to be aware of something, you want to call Thoughts, Love, and Reflection on a regular basis and get in on the conversation that we're talking about related to the things that are happening. I also want to share with you guys that when you call in, every day that you call in, there's an opportunity for you to share in a pot of money that might be coming our way. I live here in Florida, so I'm playing Fantasy Five every day for Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And I'm paying Powerball Wednesdays and Saturdays for Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And so the Fantasy Five numbers, if you want to take those down, the Fantasy Five numbers for every day this week are 3, 29, 30, 33, and 36. The second number for Fantasy Fall 5 for the week are 4, 5, 12, 16, and 21. In order to be a part of the winnings, you have to call in on the day that we win. So we want you to get in the habit of calling every day so that you don't have to worry about it. If we win, you win, and that's what's important. The numbers for Wednesday, Saturday, for Powerball are 35, 36, 50, 21, 64, and the Powerball number is 6. The second number for Powerball on Wednesday and Saturday is 12, 29, 30, and 46, 50, and the Powerball number is 12. So those are the numbers for the week this week, and we've got a new set of numbers on Sunday. And, you know, we want to be a part of an organization that does the kind of things that we need to do to keep things upbeat, keep our lives enjoyable. But at the same time, we want to talk about the kinds of things that are going to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. It's important that we make sure that we are part of people, a group of people who are interacting with the world and making people fully understand that it's important that we do what's right. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Mr. Deshay. How are you today?
I am doing awesome, Kathy. I've had a very relaxing day, but I'm doing fine, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And are you getting prepared for Christmas?
I'm already prepared, James. I'm already prepared.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm lagging behind. Oh, I did forget to tell everybody. I haven't gotten any emails as of yet. So there are still 5 gifts that I'm willing to give to those of you who are willing to email me at djames82@aol.com. Email me with a child's address and their age so I can get an age-appropriate gift for that individual. And I will do that for 5 families. I will continue to be a part of that beyond Christmas till the end of December. So after the end of December, that will stop. Kathy, I have to tell you, I have not done any shopping as of yet. Oh, I have done a little bit of shopping online. Online is my method of madness. Have you did any shopping online lately?
No, I haven't. The only thing I got, I have 1, 2, 3. I have 5 little children under the age of 12, and they come up to the job, and they always come into my office and look for candy and give me a hug and tell me about school. So I bought each one of them a gift card from McDonald's, and that's it. I'm done. We don't do gift exchange for Christmas. We stopped that a long time ago. We said that it's better for us to go out and serve someone else. So, you know, we stopped that. And I'm so glad because, first of all, it's saving me a lot of money. And it's taking the pressure off of who's going to get me something. So I got to get them something. We don't even do it anymore. So thank God for that.
Oh, that sounds so awesome. Well, Kathy, let me ask you this. Where did you meet these kids that come up to your office? And wow, that just seems so nice of your job to allow these kids to have access to you And how did you come to create this relationship?
Their parents, I worked with their parents, so, you know, over the years, after 28 years, you know, somebody's going to come through there with some brand-new kids being pregnant. So from when they were babies, you know, they would always bring them around. The kids just, I don't know, it's just something, they just gravitate to me. They would always want to go see Miss Kathy. So they would come in there, and I would save up different things, buy stuff when I'm out, you know, because I know that they're going to be coming sometime. So I always have something in my drawer so when they come throughout the year. But on Christmas, it's special, you know, so I wanted to give them a gift card. So they love to go to McDonald's. You know, the parents don't always stop at McDonald's. So if they have their own gift cards, then they can go to McDonald's anytime they want to go. So just like a grandparent, you know, that spoils their kids. So I have a lot of little kids that I only see every now and then. And I just want to make sure that they're happy and smiling when they come and see Miss Kathy.
Oh, wow, that is so awesome. Kathy, you know, I got a little bit of inside information, and I'm going to ask you to share it with the audience because I think some of the things that you do or your family does is so awesome, and maybe people outside of your family need to hear about it because they want to incorporate it into their family. But you all give out cards to people who have birthdays, and tell me a little bit about that, how you all came about establishing this birthday card thing that you all do for each other, the special way you treat each other on their birthday.
Okay, so it's a birthday club, and what we do is you have to commit to the club because there is money involved. So right now there was seven, but my cousin, she passed. There were seven of us, and each time one of our birthdays came, we would get five cards, and one of the cards would have the age of that person. Each one of the other cards would have a dollar. I usually put lottery tickets in mine with whatever their age is, but the other four cards would have lottery tickets in them and send them off for that particular person's birthday. So when they, on their birthday, they're opening up at least, let me see, 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 25, 30 cards, you know, but they're also getting money in the interim of opening up their cards. It's just something special. You sit back and you read all these cards, and it just do as a family or even as, if it's not a family, you know, it could be a company, a co-worker. So it's however you want to do it, but you have to commit to stand into the club for a year because you got to make sure every person that's in the club received their gift.
Okay, so now help me understand this again, that the person will receive one card from five different people?
Say it was me, you, Andre, Joyce, and Regina. So, and it was your birthday. It's your birthday. So each one of us, that's four of us, have to send you five cards each. But in one of those particular cards, it has to be whatever your age is, that amount of money in there. And, you know, sometimes people give an extra dollar or a silver coin. It could be anything special that you want to contribute to that person. It could be glass. It could be whatever you want to make the person laugh because that's their special day, you know, and people want to feel even extra special on their birthday. So that's what we do.
Right.
And then the people, whoever birthday it is, every person in the club have to call them. If you leave it on their voicemail, sing happy birthday or say happy birthday. So it's just something, you know, a little special that that they incorporated and they let me join the club. So
that is truly awesome. I mean, I just think that is a neat way to help people celebrate their birthday. Again, you know, I'm kind of Scrooge on my birthday as well. I kind of keep it undercover. But that is a neat part organization or a group to be in, and people need to think about that because it is nice to receive mail and to receive special gifts from people who truly think about you and consider you special. How are right. you doing today, Ms. Audrey? You are early bird. You just here so early today.
Yeah, I thought I would make up time for being late, as some people have called it.
Well, being that you are visiting and having a free day and getting ready for Christmas with your grandson, I appreciate you kind of scratching out this time for us today.
That's exactly what it is, an extra effort. You're exactly right. I said I called in today and share my time during this hour. Thank you.
All right. Well, Audrey, do you have any special things that you do throughout the year with your family, or special things that you're committed to doing during Christmas that you can share with the audience today?
Well, on Christmas, usually what I do is, again, with the family, we'll before we open gifts and stuff, we'll read the scripture of the holy story of Jesus' birth. But this is a new experience for me, being able to spend it with my son and his fiance and my grandson, and you know, just starting to create some memories. But I was listening to that that birthday exchange. That really sounds so much fun. That really sounds nice and special. I don't have anything specific that I do, but I do try to remember people's birthdays. And one thing I can say that my family expect from me is on their birthday is for me to call and sing. Yes, call and sing.
You
didn't
say sing.
Happy birthday,
Audrey.
I did say sing. They look forward to it. And when I'm late or something, they want to know why, what's going on, you know. My sister in Virginia, she have called me if I haven't called early enough to ask me what's going on, because she really looks forward to it. She makes sure that I call each of her children and her grand. So that's the one thing that I do, try to make sure that I acknowledge people's birthday by singing them the happy birthday song and wishing them the best.
I was kind of conflicted about what I wanted to talk about today, and I'm really kind of going off script. But I want to just ask, since I have the two of you on, and I'm aware the two of you have had an opportunity to really show a lot of love for your family, and you have the blessing of having your mothers still in your lives. Kathy, how important is it for you to continue to spend quality time with your mother?
You know what? It's very, very important. My mother is 80 years old, getting ready to be 81 next month. And this last year has really been trying for our family, because she went through this really horrific sickness, but because of the grace of God, he brought her back through, and he brought her through it, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, even at the job, I would tell them, hey, this is my week. I have to be off a couple of days because I have to go down, and I have to be with my mom, because, you know, being that she's 80 years old, you know, we just don't know. And then every day, every time I can talk to her on the phone, or I can look at her in her face, is a special moment, because tomorrow is not promised to her, nor is it promised to me. You know, even she has, there are five of us left. It were six kids, but my oldest sister passed. She had an aneurysm. But each one of us, you know, has a obligation to her, that there's something special that we do with her, you know, when we get with her. So just being there, being a part of seeing her as she's seasoned and growing, the different things that she says, it's a blessing. You know, it is a blessing. And when I hear people talk about their parents, I tell them to, you know, you really need to rethink that, and you need to enjoy every special moment that you have with your mother or with your dad, because those moments are going to pass away one day, you know. So I feel very privileged and thankful to God that he still has my mom here for me to look at, for me to laugh, for me to hug, you know, and listen to her voice and everything else. So it's really special to me.
Well, you know, that is so important. I can just say to you that I know that that is a blessing, and it is she brings joy not only to your life but to her, all her children's lives, and to anybody that knows her. And I can say, you know, I really, you know, a lot of times when I'm thinking about my mom and dad who've already passed, that it would be so nice to just have them in my life right now, to love on them and care about them and appreciate them. And so, again, you know, my talking about that or having you all talk about that is because we want people who do still have their parents here to stop waging any wars they may have with their parents and really spend more time loving on their parents, because their parents especially are truly a treasure. Now, Andre, and I know you're still loving on your mother and just so blessed that she's still here and you can still spend time with her. Talk to us a little bit about what your feelings are for your mother as she gets into her later years.
I agree with Kathy. It's just an opportunity to really kind of not necessarily repay back, but actually return the blessing of her raising us. It was 9 children in our family, and my mom and dad really set a good example for us, and I'm so thankful. And my father had such a large impact. I mean, he has passed 35 years now, and yet still the values that he instilled in us still live on, and it's a reason for that. And so with my mother, 97, preparing, if the Lord's will, to turn 98 in February, we are blessed. And while my mother moved to Florida, she stays with my sister in Winter Haven, and all of the members of the family assist in their own way, whether from a distance or come and visit her and all. But as time goes on, we notice that, you know, we know that things are more challenging for her, but still in the midst of it all, we are blessed and thankful for every day, because not a day is promised to us. And we just try to make her as comfortable as she can, enjoy life and create as many memories as we can. This past Thanksgiving was unique for us, but I think it's one that my mom really cherished, and that's what we try to do now. You know, we try to, it's not about material things at all. It's all about creating wonderful memories so that we can show love that way. And again, we're thankful, and as it was said earlier, you know, when you have your parents, just make sure we pause enough and take the time to enjoy it. As a matter of fact, it was what my son was saying. He wanted to go out to eat dinner, and I said, this is holiday time. Just being here and just relaxing, that's a gift to me. We have to slow down. Let's just enjoy each other for a moment. Now, he knows some good restaurants. I could tell you. But every now and then, we have to just pause and just enjoy the moments that we have and not be in such a rush. Just enjoy. That's the key.
Andre, let me ask you how important, you know, a few times you shared with me your mother's love for playing dominoes. How enjoyable is it for you to just sit down there and share those moments with her when you have those opportunities these days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not a lot of games that she know how to play and stuff. Coming up, she wasn't one of the ones that played, you know, cards or anything like that. She enjoys dominoes, and you're exactly right. Every opportunity we take time to play, and the good thing of it is, I thank God, is sometimes she may forget certain stuff or whatever, but when it comes to dominoes, you can see a difference in her. She really perks up, and it's not easy to beat her either. So that's something I get joy just seeing her enjoying herself. But yeah, she loved being the domino queen, and it's those type of things that we recognize that people that's important to us is what they like and what they enjoy, then that's what we take the time to pause and do. And we try to do that as much as we possibly can to share that special time. But if she was able, and she's just not as mobile as she used to be, she enjoyed bingo and casino too. So I try to, at least on her birthday, take her to the casino in Tampa. And while that's, you know, it's an extra effort for us even to get there, and she's not staying as long as we used to. But, again, when we can carve out time to do anything that she enjoyed doing, no matter how small of an amount of time it, we can stay there. But if it's important to her, then that's what we should do, and that's what we really try to do, identify the things that's important to her and incorporate those into our day-to-day activities.
Kathy, what are some of the things that you do with your mother that you specifically do for her enjoyment?
My mom loved movies. She loved to watch old black movies. So anytime a movie comes out in the theater, she will call up and say, it's time for us to go and see that movie that just came out. She want to go in there and get her some popcorn, sit in there and laugh at those movies. We watch reruns when we're at her house. We can be and saw that same movie 5 times, and each time it's funnier each time that we see that movie. She used to play cards. You know, they used to have card games at their house all the time, but as time went on, they stopped doing that. And but she loves movies. Now, she, like I said, with each one of us, there's something different that she likes to do. Now, with my sister, she likes to shop. Now, they'll go shopping together. But as for me, she wants to go to the movies. She wants to sit down and she wants to laugh. So that's a blessing.
Well, you know, it is so amazing. As I listen to the two of you all talk, one of the things that I used to do to really show my mom how much I appreciated her was, you know, my mom was a well-to-do individual, and I guess what I mean by well-to-do was she had all the money she needed, and so I didn't spend a lot of time buying her gifts or doing things like that. I used to love just doing things that she might not do for herself. And one of those things was she loved going to professional basketball games. And so anytime I knew a guy who had some real good seats, who had season tickets, and if he could not go, I would buy his season tickets for my mom to go and to have one of her friends go along with her. And so it was just important to me anytime I could get them or was to get her some tickets so she could go see professional basketball, because she loved her some basketball and loved her some sports. So it just did my heart good to be in a position where I could get her some good seats and she could really go watch the Magic play and just know that, you know, a few times a year she was going to get the opportunity to go to a Magic game. And those are the kinds of things that I really enjoyed doing for her, because the love that she shared with me and she shared with her community was just truly overwhelming. I'm a teacher as a result of her being a teacher. She taught for 34-plus years as an elementary school teacher. And when I went to college, I had no idea that I was going to be a teacher. I really went to be to major in computer science, and I majored in math and minored in computer science, and I decided to do education as my math degree so that I knew that I could always go be a teacher if I needed to be, because of the positive way she felt about teaching. And so she was just truly a gift, and she left me way too early. But she extended or put in me some thoughts that I carry with me now related to the world and what my loyalty should be or my desire should be for how I interact with the world. And just tell me, Kathy, a little bit about what kind of legacy has your mom left in you, or what qualities did she extend or pass on to you?
Wow. Just being, you know, my mom has, there are 10 of them, but out of the 10 of them, my mom is the only one that all the other nieces and nephews gravitate to. So the legacy that I see in her is the kindness that she gives to her family, the joy that she shares with them when they come around. She has a heart to where she will cook these meals, you know, and she'll invite everybody over just to have that family-oriented thing going on, you know, so that the family will be with family, family with no family. Every time there's been, every time something is going on, she said, well, did you call such and such? Did you reach out to them? I really want them to be a part of it. You guys are going to need each other. You need to go and talk. Is such and such mad at that person? Then maybe you need to talk to them and tell them they need to get together. So that family thing that she has with all of the family members, with the nieces, the cousins, the grandkids, that's what I hold on to, because, I mean, without family, it's really kind of hard, you know, because if you don't have anybody that, even though you get mad at family, but, you know, your brother, your siblings and cousins or whatever, but that they're still connected to you, you know, so down the long run, I want to be able to have that for, I always say, I want my nieces and nephews to come and say, I want to go see Auntie today. I want them to be able to come and sit with me and talk about what we did, laugh, those type of things. That's what I see in her, in that giving spirit, just being a woman, a godly woman, a woman where when you talk about her, there's grace being talked about, there's integrity being talked about, everything that's good, because you have a lot of people, aunts and uncles, that are not nice, that you know, don't have that niceness about them that you don't want to be around. So that's the part that I'm holding on to.
Audrey, what is the legacy that your mom is going to, has instilled in you or will be leaving with you, you know, whenever that time comes? Well, just what you know, where she has put a light in your spirit will always shine.
Well, I think it's something that I hold important even now, and that it goes back to when I was a small girl, and we were a poor family as it relates to finances or money, but because of our family, I consider us to be a rich family. But one of the things that she taught me early on, and I'm hoping that that's part of who I am now and will continue, is that she made sure that we shared and gave to others. And, you know, I know one time I had given some clothes to a young lady who, you know, lived down the street from us. And when she was passing by going to their church and stuff like that, I was outside, and I told my mom, I said, oh, Mom, that dress looks so nice on her. And she said, yes, but she said, always make sure that whenever you give something to someone or you do something for someone, don't you ever say anything about it. So don't say anything to her and don't say anything. So that has taught me, I think, that you do for other people and you give of yourself without trying to get recognition. So I would value that. And then selfishly, one of the things that's important to me is that I would like to be remembered by my family, just as Kathy stated, as being a good auntie. As a matter of fact, whenever we have newborns or whenever we have new members that come into the family, I always let them know, I'm your favorite auntie. So no matter whatever my sisters tell you, you need to know that I'm your favorite auntie and stuff. So they say it's a brainwash type thing, but it doesn't matter. That's one of the things that's important to me because, like you said, I think as we grow older and later on, I would hope that my nieces and nephews would come back and take care of the auntie, as not take care of per se, but, you know, just, again, spend that time with them, because that's so important. I'm seeing that more and more with my mother, how important that is as far as time with family.
You know, as I was listening to Kathy, I remember how much my mom used to love to cook and have big parties at her home, and to just share a lot of love with the people she truly cared about. And over the years, I just know that she was indeed the kind of woman that just wanted to do the best she could by the people that crossed her path. And it's so important that we recognize that we carry on the love that our parents extend to us. And we have to make sure that we love our communities, our states, our cities, and our country in such a way that we are committed to sharing that love with one another. You know, the treasure that exists inside of us must be extended to the people that we love and care a lot about. And so that's important, that we recognize how much the world outside of ourselves mean to us. Regina, how are you doing this evening? Are you there, Regina? Okay. And so, I just recognize now as I listen to you guys how important it is for me to extend my love of my mother on to the world around me. I don't know if I'll ever become a host to the point where I bring people in my home and cook for them, because I very rarely cook for myself. So I know I can't extend that on to other people at all, because I don't think nobody would come over and eat my cooking. But maybe I could cater to people. Are you with us now, Regina?
I am.
All right. Regina, today we're talking about, and I'm not sure if I know or not, how do you extend, or do you still, are your parents still alive now?
Yes. All of my parents are alive. Both sets.
Okay. Oh, wow. So you're truly blessed.
Man, that's a double blessing.
How do you extend your love to your parents now, and how do you all interact in a way that you show thanks for their existence?
Well, we're not a typical family at home, so how do we interact? I'm going to pass on that question.
I was just saying that because I do know that we talked about with Kathy and Audrey how their mothers are up in their years and how they continue to love them and spend time with them. Both of them happen to be in a position to spend time with them on a weekly basis because they live in similar proximity. I, on the other hand, don't live well. I've lost both of my parents. Actually, I've lost all of my grandparents and my parents, and as a lone only child, I now only have aunts and uncles. And sometimes that can be a very lonely existence when you don't have any siblings or anybody to talk to about the kind of things that impact your life these days.
Well, let me explain where my position is in my family. My mother and father divorced before I was even walking. I was the only child that they had. So then my mother got remarried, and she had my sister. My father got remarried, and he had my other two sisters. So, in essence, I am an only child. Now, that puts me in a precarious spot because it is just my other, my one sister, she takes care of my step and my mom, and my other sisters take care of my dad and my stepmother. I was the golden child because I was the only one. I was the oldest one born. I didn't live in close proximity of my dad during the winter, so when I got up there, it was like a big party. They would come and meet me at the airport or caravan from Virginia to South Carolina to get me. So that left some sort of ill will there. So we really don't have, we have a respectful relationship. It's in the middle of it. And so me being the peacemaker, I just try to stay out of the way. And so that's our situation. So my daughter and I create our own tradition. And that's how we are. And we're creating a close bond.
Well, it's important that it gets started somewhere. And so good that you have the frame of mind to create it between you and your daughter. I know that me and my daughter have gone through some trying times. We're trying to get much, much closer together now. But all of you know that my daughter was born when I was 16, and so now I'm 56 and she's 40, and we're both up in age. And so we have an interesting relationship, to say the least. I know that we don't call each other enough, we don't talk to each other enough, but we have a lot of love for one another. And I actually am at the point that, you know, my whole life is about making sure that I make provisions for my only child. And so that's real important to me as a father, that I, just as my mother left a inheritance to me, I want to leave an inheritance to my daughter. The sad thing is that, again, I only have one child, and my daughter hasn't had any children. So my family very well may be ending soon because we have not had, none of the people that I truly love have had a lot of children. My only one uncle in my family on my mother's side had a large family. The rest, I think one aunt had three and one aunt had one. And so we just have not had a huge family. In fact, I think amongst our family, except for that uncle, he's only produced one grandchild. So we're really hurting for people that come after us. And I have not had the luxury of having nieces and nephews and all those things that people like Kathy talk about. Kathy talks about her nieces and nephews with such joy that it makes me jealous, Kathy. I have to tell you that.
Well, look, we got about 50 of them, and you can have 20 of them. I'll take 30, you take the other 20.
The interesting thing about our family is I'm the oldest out of my three sisters. None of them have children. And I only have one.
Wow.
She's the only grandchild on both sides. And I think that contributes to a lot of unsaid things. So the big sister has to be the bigger of everybody, the biggest of everybody, and just keep a calm head.
Well, I have to tell you, I have I have some Chris cousins out there that I don't know about, and on my father's side, and I have some first cousins that I have not seen in a very long time on my father's side. My mother's side of the family is very close, a lot closer than my father's side of the family. And as a Duché, I really worry about the fact that I don't have a son, and that I don't have, and my daughter doesn't have a child. And so that bloodline very well may come to an end. My dad did have children outside of my mother, but his last name is not Duché. He has a couple of children. I guess the reality is that his children are Duchés, but they won't continue to, they won't use that name. RJ, what do you think about what that legacy means? Does family name mean anything about carrying on anymore?
Oh, family name is very important. It is truly a legacy, and that's what we can give and leave if we can't give anything else. Like I said, even now, after 35 years of my father passing, we value the values that he taught us in so many ways. I mean, even now, as old as I am, I think back, and I was blessed. My son is the last grandchild that he actually held and kept and stuff before he passed. My father passed at a very young age. But I tell you, all the other grands that came after my son, they still know of my dad, because all of us still talk about, you know, what he meant to us and what he meant to our family and our community. And my father wasn't a formally educated man, but I tell you, of all the people that I ever know, I think he was the most wise. And if I could be as half as have as much wisdom as he, I would just be so thankful and blessed. But legacy is truly important, and even scripture tells us the importance of legacy. So while we may have trials and tribulations with our family, we have to remember that there's never a perfect family, but that's what family is about. You work through it, you support each other, and that's what makes us stronger. And we pass that on to generation after generation. But we have to tell the story. We have to make sure those that come behind us understand the struggle that we faced and the values that we have in the midst of challenges. We still do the right thing. And that's so important.
Cassie, what are your thoughts in terms of names being carried on and the legacy of the family remaining as a major part of life as you move forward?
Well, I believe it's important, but, you know, there are some couples out there, are people that are not able to have kids. So with that being said, so when they go and adopt a child, or take a child into their home as their own, I think that is also considered as a special name legacy. You know, it doesn't have to be that the child is born to you, that is your bloodline, but if you take someone into your home, if you make that person a part of your family, then that person deserves to be just as much. Say if we bring somebody into our home, that child deserves to be just as much as a Jones and inherit everything that we have as any other child that was born into our family. So, but I think it's a very, very important thing, and I wanted to tell you that you are a part of our family, Mr. Duché. We don't get to see you much, but you are a part of our family. We do have talks about you all the time. So you are a part of our family, and we're a family on this line. So, you know, even though you don't see us as much, when we come together and communicate, that's bonding. That's a making a great relationship. You know, we don't have to see each other all the time, but every now and then, you know, when we come together, we laugh and talk. We're bonding as a family, really.
Well, you know, that's truly important to me. I want you all to know that I, you know, being an only child and being what you call an orphan, I mean, I use this term sometimes because it's true that an orphan is someone who does not have their mother or father. And I am so glad that I do have people outside of myself who love me, who care about me, who want the very best for me, who I am emotionally connected to, because that's so important. I'm not as connected to my real family as I should be, because I don't call them as often as I should. I don't interact with them as often as I should. But I do love. I have an ability to love. I don't know where it came from, but I love and care for people deeply. I want the very best for people, and I want to give them my very best as well. And so I do want you all to know that I appreciate so much your commitment to being a part of my life. And, Kathy, I just, your family is such a blessing. They showed me so much love when I met them that one time when I was able to come out. And just the love that you all showed me when you all came here to Orlando to visit, I just think it's awesome how people can need to know that meeting people one time can have so much value to it. And I'm the one of those people, I tell people all the time, I'm not a person that is a type of person. And once you get in my circle, it's hard. I don't let everybody in my circle, but once you get in my circle, you're in my circle for life, because I'm not haphazard about the people that I care about. I show a lot of love and commitment to the people that are important to me, and that's not something I just so easily let go of. And so you're right. I do consider all of you who call in and who have gotten to know me as being a part of my family, and you all are important to me. But I, you know, that there is a wish that, you know, people need. I understand now why some people say it's not good to have an only child, because there are those moments when I feel real lonely that I don't, you know, have a sister and brother. I have stepsisters and brothers. I think when your parents marry somebody who's already have children, that's called stepsisters and brothers, right? When they're not biological brothers and sisters, but you are sisters and brothers through marriage, that's stepbrothers and sisters. Is that not right?
That's what the world calls it, but I have seven additional siblings that were added to our family when my mom married my now dad. I call him my dad. I never call him stepdad. I never call him anything but dad, because to me, when you come together under a roof with other people and you share a bond of, you know, growing up together, sitting at the table, eating, going out, doing those type of things, your family, I mean, and I know a lot of people do say the step part, but as for me, and this is how our family is, we don't put step in it. If that's my sister, oh, there go my other sister. We don't see each other often, but when we do see each other, it's just like we just saw each other the other day. But I do understand that that does happen like that sometimes, but that's just something that we took on as a family, that we wouldn't do that.
Well, I do have a stepsister and brother, and I don't call them stepsisters or brothers either. And but I just don't, I mean, again, I don't, one of them lives here in Orlando and one lives in Nebraska, and we just don't get together enough. And maybe that's something I need to do, is refocus my thoughts on getting back with those who are part of my family or extended family. I do have a brother who is a half-brother that I don't talk to enough as often, and he has some daughters that are his children, and I ought to extend to them my love. You know, and Cass, you just have a way of getting to me and making me do things that I would not normally do. And so I have to I have to reach out to him and see if there's not something I can do for his family, because he is indeed my half brother, and he and my daughter have a weird relationship because she is actually his niece, and you know it's kind of weird when you're an uncle to a niece that's younger, older than you. They always say that's kind of weird.
Yeah, maybe for Christmas you guys can get together. Why don't you reach out to each one of them? Hey, you guys can go out and eat somewhere just to connect, reconnect, because that's what it's all about. It's about connecting to those that are around in your circle. It's not a coincidence that they are in your circle. They're in your circle for a reason, and sometimes they may be able to help you with something. I mean, we always say, okay, I don't need anything, but it doesn't have to be something material. It could be something mental, something spiritual, something that you can say to them to encourage them, or them to say to you to encourage you. You never know.
That is so true. Andre, you know, you have flown or visiting with your son, and you said, you know, how is it? Are you looking at family a lot different than years before, or is it becoming more and more important to you now that you got this little grandson? And what do you want for his future?
I have always valued family, but now I'm at a different place that I value it even more. And I want to just pause for a moment when you talk about stepchildren or half brothers and sisters and stuff. I agree with Kathy, and I'm so glad that she's reaching you to try to reach out and bond and connect, because our family has children that coming from different places. You know, you marry people now and they have children, so you treat them all. I mean, if you're part of the family, like Kathy said, you're in the household, then you're part of the family. And just think from that person's perspective. I don't care if they're a child or adult. We all want to be loved and appreciated and just cared for who we are. Would you rather hear someone call you my step or half-sister or brother, or this is my brother or sister? And that's the way, you know, we should treat them, because when you marry now, a lot of times, depending on what age you marry, somebody's going to already have a child. And when you accept that person, you accept that child. And so with that, you treat them as if they are natural or biological. And so, yes, I'm looking at family even more important, and I didn't even realize that I could, because, like I said, family has always been important to me. But now it's more about experiences. That's my thing, or where I am, just creating memories that we'll be able to cherish and reflect back on, because, again, being around my mom, I have a different perspective and understanding of truly, you know, what this life is about and how short it really is. So we have to make the most of it, and family is a key part of it.
You are so right, you know, And I just appreciate that we've had this hour to spend talking about family, and we want to encourage our audience to recommit themselves to loving their immediate family as well as their extended family, and doing what it takes to bring those bonds closer. I know that after this show, I'm going to extend my hand to my brother's daughters and let them know that they have somebody they can always call to request something from. You know, you always want to be a blessing to people. And so they may have more than they need right now, but there may be a time that they need me. And there's nothing more important than people needing me. I tell you that one of the most important things in my life is I say to myself, when my daughter comes over, and she doesn't come over often, but when she comes over and she has to ask me for money, she doesn't need to have no excuses. And that's what I try not to have for her, is when she comes over and tells me she needs a window fixed on her car, or she wants to go out of town, or she needs some money, I try not. I'm not going to even question what her need is for. As her father, that's the desire of my heart, is to meet her needs. And certainly, I'm in a position to do that, and so I should extend that courtesy to some of the people who are part of my bloodline, despite it may be a different kind of bloodline than the direct bloodline I have with my daughter. So thank you again, Kathy, for planting that seed in my spirit.
You rascal.
Well, guys, we're at the end of another hour. Andre, do you have a final word for this evening?
Family is our future, and how pleasant it is for us to love one another.
And Kathy, your final word?
Pick up the phone and call someone you haven't talked to within the last 6 months.
All right. Well, guys, the audience, this is Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to ask you to go by my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. That's JamesTDeshay.com. Go by my website, look around, and tell me what you think. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. We are here for us to talk about the things that are important for us today and in the future. And there's nothing more important than family. So I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and again 5 p.m. Western Time. And we're going to talk about the things that impact our lives today and forever. And this is a place that your voice can be heard loud and clear. Talk to you guys later.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, Jay Andre. He got a question to ask you.